Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Bez Hashem, BPM, Shir number 125. That's Bais Pnimi, Shir for Men, Shir number 125. We're talking today about the working side of sex. We mentioned that some of it is the fun-loving part of it, and some of it is the serious part of it. And we started to talk about at the end of the last Shir, common differences that are to be negotiated between the two of you. Of course, a lot of it is the scheduling, the understanding of how many times you ultimately want to agree to be intimate with one another. We said that b'derech klal, based on the Paiskim, based on the Hadracha of Paiskim, that no matter how long you're married or no matter what is going on, as best as you can, that it should be a minimum, an absolute minimum of twice a week. And I think that's the consensus of almost every Paisik, of every Gadol that spoke about those who do the Oines Talmud Chacham Shabbos LeShabbos, like once a week. They have to be very, very careful with that. And they really have to be mamish on the same page and aligned in that area. But b'derech klal, that's not a healthy thing. And very often in our dar, especially, and don't think it's just for young people. It is for people that are older as well, to have that connectivity, especially if a wife has short cycles. And anyway, two weeks of the month is not available. And then when there's babies, there's a long stretch and there's other situations that come up. So then it may be very beneficial to increase that set schedule. But again, every couple is different with this. So in a public share like this, can't really give specific advice to it, because every couple is different. Could be even both of them don't need it much and they're fine with having it very rarely. For those couples, it's very important, even if it seems that both of them are on the same page where once a week is fine, or even they just don't have, neither one has that drive, they still need to work hard towards connectivity in this area. It's not something to take lightly. And if there's a differences between libidos, we talked about that many times, we're not going to get addressed it right now. A compromise needs to be had. But the general rule is to have the sexual experience on a consistent basis and with the real connectivity, of course, working on all other aspects of the marriage. And just going to say this as a general thing. When marriages have problems, it could be earlier in marriage, the hyper-focus on the sexual aspects is problematic. It could be with some personalities. If a wife has a pull and an addiction towards the sexual aspects, or a husband does, and they are like one-track minded to an extreme, that's unhealthy, obviously. Okay, so aside from those type of cases, when we're talking about just regular, normal people, that some have a very strong drive and some have less so. So, and then you have differences in marriages like this. One thing one needs to have, and if you ask people, when you have strains in marriages or difficulties in marriages, most of the time, it's not because we had too much sex. That rarely happens. Usually it's the reverse. Usually it's having too little is problematic, which sounds strange, but that is the case in many situations. But so this has to be worked through with a sensitivity. Even the way you kiss each other is very important to discuss in the right way, of what's enjoyable and what's not, and so on and so forth. You discuss with each other, for example, what you like to do pertaining to foreplay before it. Do you like to, long conversations, short conversations, after intimacy? Does your wife want to stay together with you and cuddle more for a long period of time, for a shorter period of time? Like we said many times, often, a husband is done what he does and he gets tired and he's done with it, but a wife is just starting. And to continue on with what she wants, and that may seem like it's work for you, but it's very important work. And you do your best to overcome your tiredness and pay strong attention to your wife, both with her, the words that she's saying, and your communication with her, and what she's feeling in her body, and you continue doing things that she wants that will give her pleasure, even though right now you are done with your side of it, and you provide for her as much pleasure as she wants and needs at any given moment. The idea of sexual talk. Now, I'm not talking about cholila nivel peh, okay? Obviously, you can't be coarse and vulgar. That's kalas roish, and that's nivel peh, and it's a serious thing. But as we said before, there's certain ways of talking more explicit, more sexual, that's very arousing, that your wife may enjoy hearing. Again, I'm not going to openly talk about it in the shir in an open, clear way, but you use your common sense. There's some explicit sexual talk, the way you talk on the streets, the words that are used there, and the vulgar, coarse way of describing body parts that is obviously usser and despicable and disgusting. But at the same time, there is explicit sexual talk that is arousing, that's beautiful, and that's healthy. And you have to speak to each other with your wife. What does she enjoy hearing when you want to praise how beautiful she is and about how her body is desirable to you, and you talk about it? Does she feel comfortable and does she get turned on when you talk in a more explicit way to her about these things and that arouses her more? Or she prefers more a subtle or indirect way of talking? The language way of expressing to each other in sexual terms. And you have a right to ask of your wife the same. That sometimes when you want her to talk in a sexual way to describe how much she desires something and how something feels good and how, again, like I said, that's not a steer and sneeze. I talk about this on the women's side very, very, very much. I guess you speak to people that, you know, on a private one-on-one basis if you're not sure. You have to make sure, even if your wife enjoys explicit sexual talk and you want to do that to arouse each other in foreplay or, you know, or afterwards or whatever it is, it's very, very important to know and be careful. What did you pick up from the streets? And what is real and what is true and what's healthy? So explicit sexual talk is not necessarily a bad thing. It actually could be a very good thing and a teredika thing to do. But again, there's a lot of explicit sexual talk that people pick up from movies, vulgar, coarse. So there's a big difference between, just like in the Chazon Ish, he says that there has to be a level of kalos. Kalos means lightheartedness when interacting with your wife, but not kalos reish. Those are the two Hebrew terms. Kalos roish is negative. That's a coarse, vulgar, inappropriate way of talking. Then there's kalos, which is also lightheartedness, which is a healthy way of talking. Same thing with explicit sexual talk. It could be misused, and then it's ugly and usser and disgusting. It could be, even explicit sexual talk could be a mitzvah, and your kavan is l'shem shamayim, and you're doing it where you're using your words, you know, not in a vulgar way on describing things, then it's a good thing. If it creates an arousal for your wife, it turns her on when you talk that way, then you talk that way. Again, never in the language of the streets, but in a language of explicitness. If that's what she enjoys, that's what you do. If it's more subtle that she enjoys or indirect, then you do it that way. You work also with each other. Some people have sensory issues. How much you like being touched, how much she likes being touched. There's some women that enjoy being touched a lot. There's some women that don't enjoy touching that much. Or more so, really, truth is that there needs to be a point where a wife sometimes may not be comfortable you touching her in certain areas until there's some time that passes by where you touch in other more or less sensitive areas until you give her time, and then she'll want that touch. So you have to be patient with her and be accepting of the differences. You may like to give her a lot of touch and she may not need as much. So you work with each other on that. You know, on the wife's side, the ones that have uncomfortableness with this, we do stress that they should try to be accommodating, and once they are in it, they really do enjoy it, but you can't pressure her, and it has to be with a sensitivity and working with her on these things. Some people want direct stimulation. Some people need indirect stimulation. Most women need the indirect stimulation first. Don't go straight to the areas that are very sensitive. You work around it first until she's ready and she should communicate with you. And then you go to the more sensitive areas and you work again talking about that as well. Sometimes it's uncomfortable looking at each other when you're intimate, and it's hard, but it's very important to try to do that. Even in the dark, when it's dark, but you could still, even in darkness, you could see each other's features at times and whatever it is. And for some spouses, they're very uncomfortable. It could be from a misplaced sneeze. It could be from emotional uncomfortableness where the eyes are closed and you're not looking at the face of your spouse or your wife. Eye-to-eye contact is very important. But again, if she's uncomfortable with that direct eye contact for the time being, you accommodate her, then you don't look at her directly. You know, you work it, work, and then you go through the process of explaining and trying to understand what makes her uncomfortable and why, but you never make her uncomfortable. But the ideal is, of course, to try your best to have that relationship open and have your eyes open and looking at each other while you're interacting in this way sexually. Again, for many people, this is not easy because it's a vulnerability that many are uncomfortable with. And you have to really question yourself and understand where it's coming from. You could practice this if you're uncomfortable with eye contact to slowly work through it and do your best with it. And it gets better over time if you work with it. The idea of being, like we said, I'm not going to get in too much into this, you know, halachically. You could be with each other in different positions halachically. There's certain types of oral sex that's halachically permissible, certain things not. I don't want to get into the halachic things here, but I am mentioning it. And Rabbanim will tell you different things and different matzavim and whatever it is. So I can't take the achrayus of a halachic aspects of things. I'm going with the tzad right now as I'm talking to you right here, that you had asked a shayla, or you know clearly, or you had a kabbalah, you had a mesira, or whatever it is, that certain things of different positions, or oral sex in certain situations, or other types of acts that you talked about, that met, some people would say, you know, it's better not to, but many say it's not a problem at all. And if you and your wife, or even if you yourself and your wife not yet, or vice versa, know something's mutter. Okay, so again, we're going on the basis of you already know that it's a mutadika thing to do. Then you work with each other on it, on how to go about it. Because even if something is, you already got that heter, or you already, both of you know, this is okay to do. But again, your wife may not yet be fully comfortable with it. And you can't pressure her about it. So you have to work through those things, those type of experimental or making things exciting. By the way, again, this is a shikl hadas. There are times where it is important to utilize those heterim. It is important in some situations, especially when marriages is going through different pressures and sexually it's becoming stale or routine, that there are times where, yes, it is important to utilize some of these heterim, l'shem shemayim, to stimulate and to be mechazik this area in sexual life. It's very, very important. You could decide, for example, when you do this. There's certain nights where you decide these nights we're going to be more conventional, you know, and less experimental. And then other nights, and you make up times. Let's say you know, okay, we will be able to take a nap before this, or we'll most likely be more rested on this particular night. Then you could just say, you know, this night is designated for the more experimental, rowdy, fiery type of lovemaking, and the other nights are more traditional, slower lovemaking. And you communicate with each other on the moods and where you're at and where you are. You know, some people like predictability. Some people like excitement and creativity. So you negotiate with each other. It doesn't have to be both the same. In other words, let's say you like it only a certain way, in a certain fixed way. Your wife wants more variety, or vice versa. Then you compromise. Whatever your intimate nights are, you work it out. On this time, we'll do it in the predictable, conventional way of being intimate. And then the other night, we're going to do it in a more an exciting, creative way. And the other one may not be thrilled about whichever way it is, but they work with each other because they love each other. Another thing that we're going to discuss, and it's a pace to negotiate, you will see as you grow in sexuality that it has the opportunity to create a tremendous amount of spirituality and emotional connection together with it. Some people don't sense the connection between the two. They look at sex as a physical thing, and the spirituality and emotional aspects are not as there as strong, and you work with each other. So basically, in a nutshell, expect changes. Changes are constant. Changes are always happen. Expect to grow in sexual understanding. You ask Hashem for siyata d'shmaya with this. Hashem is there with you as you talk about these things with your wife. This is part of B'chol Derechecha De'eyu. It's part of Avodas Hashem when you do this the right way with your wife. And you decide, when you I have couples that share one phone. So the way I work it is sometimes with the Panimi groups, if they have one phone that has WhatsApp between the couple, but they both use it, so I ask them who the primarily main user is. If the primary main user is the husband, then I give them the men's side. And then if it's a primary user is on the woman, I give it on the woman's side. It has to be that way, and we have to be very careful with that. I have no choice. What I do in certain situations, if you share a phone, one phone, and let's say the primary user is the wife, she uses it at 95% of the time, but I would forward her the men share to give to the husband to listen to, and vice versa. Same thing over here, if you have separate phones, and or your wife's not listening, yes, listening, whatever it is, but these type of BPM shiurim, some of them, it is beneficial sometimes for the wife to hear as well. So that a share like this, when we're talking about negotiations on the sexual aspects of things, it may be or may not be beneficial to share this with your wife, depending on her mood right now and her openness to understand and listen and work with you on this. So you use your common sense. But there is, I don't think, any harm in listening to the concepts of the shiurim or for your wife to hear about it so that you could start working together with it. Bracha v'atzlacha.